Life is not static. Life is always changing. It has to be understood as a form of energies. Life is not unconditioned, but it is conditioned. Life is not absolutely independent, but it is interdependent. Life is a process. There are many causes and conditions that come into existence, and the combination of this, what we call life. Generally speaking, five aggregates of clinging. They're in the process of arising and passing away, and that is what we call a living being. The birth is not the absolute beginning of this life. The death is also not the absolute end of this life. This is simply just one life that we are living. We have been born billions of times in the past, and we will be born again and again in the afterlife. Such is wandering on this cycle of existence. So Buddhists understand life as a process of becoming. It's like a river that's ever flowing. In this process of becoming, we come across 8 worldly conditions, atta loka dhamma, that no one can escape. They are known as vicissitudes in life. They come as pairs. Labo alabo, ayaso yasocha, ninda pasansa, sukhancha dukkha. Gain and loss, praise and blame, fame and disrepute, and happiness and suffering. These are the 8 worldly conditions that evolve in our life. We face them again and again and again. We come across them very constantly in life. We like the gains. When we get success, when you make progress in life, when business is going well, when we get health, wealth, such gains are welcome. But sometimes we also lose in life. Whatever we gain, and sometimes it's lost. Our health, wealth, power, popularity, they are bound to change and disappear. So we do face losing. We like to hear praise. People come to us and praise us. They say, "You are so beautiful, you are so handsome, you are so clever, you are this and that." We feel happy. But sometimes people also come to our face straight away and scold us, blame us. Of course, we like fame, glory. If our name and fame is spread far and wide, we like it. We look for it. Sometimes we look for it in a righteous way. Sometimes we look for it in a very unwholesome way too. But still, we also have to face disrepute. Against our will and wish, sometimes bad name appear and is spread far and wide. We also have to face happiness as well as suffering, pleasurable, favorable conditions in life bring happiness and joy. We welcome them. We wish that they will be there forever for us. But we also have to face the miseries and calamities. Falls in, get old, separate from loved ones. When we cannot get what we want, we also face miseries in life, pain. So these are the 8 worldly conditions. These 8 worldly conditions, at the right beginning, we can divide them into 2 major sections. One section is pleasurable, favorable aspect of life. And these are the gain, praise, fame or glory, pleasure and joy. This is pleasant side of the life. We want them, we accept them, we welcome them. The other aspect of life is the negative aspect, miserable aspect. And this is the loss, blame, the bad reputation, pain and suffering. This is the unpleasant side of the life. So the life is comprised of both. Life is, this is what we call here, these 8 worldly conditions. Now, ordinary human beings as well as enlightened human beings, both group of human beings, they come across these 8 worldly conditions. But the way an ordinary human being react and the way an extraordinary human being react is different. So this understanding is very important for us as practitioners of Buddhism, because we are heading towards enlightenment. Now, how does an ordinary human being react to these 8 worldly conditions? As ordinary human beings, in our life, we are constantly facing 2 struggles. Every day in our life, we are doing this. In one aspect, we are running after pleasant side of life. Pleasurable, favorable, light, sound, smells, touch, sensation, pleasurable, favorable, side of life, which is glory, power, wealth, beauty. We want them. In order to achieve them, we work hard. We struggle a lot. From day that we wake up in the morning until up to we go to sleep, we are running after them. We are chasing after them. We want to grab them. We want them. So we work hard. Sometimes we also work in a such a way, unwholesome way, evil way, in the expenses of the others, or even in the expenses of the lives of the others, we don't mind as long as we get them. So this is one struggle, our constant struggle to achieve these, what we recognize as pleasurable, favorable side of the life. And we want it. This is one struggle. The other struggle is whatever we consider as unpleasant, suffering and painful, we are running away from them. We do not want them. So we are running away from them with our highest speed. We do not want the unpleasant, disagreeable and painful light, sound, smells, touch, sensation. We do not need We do not want all these unpleasant things. So humans struggle for these two things. In one way, to run away from unpleasant side of life, and on the other side, to run after pleasurable side of life. This creates a struggle in our life. Because of this struggle, when we are in conflict, when we are in a struggle, then of course, we don't have peace in the mind. What we have in the mind is stress, tension, agony, fear, and all the other related defilements is coming to existence. So we are not peaceful. Ordinary human being, we are not peaceful. There is another aspect. What is the other aspect? Now, when an ordinary human being, when he comes across this pleasurable, favorable aspect of life, glory, power, beauty, health, wealth, and whatever those agreeable, desirable aspects in life, then he likes them. So he wants them. And on the other hand, when he comes across this unpleasant, disagreeable, painful side of life, he doesn't like them. He pushes them away. Now in our mind, these two things happen again. One way we like, the other way we dislike. Or otherwise we can say attraction and repulsion. Like the pendulum in this standing clock, it is going this way. So mind is always going to either side. And it is always moving between like and dislike, like and dislike. So it doesn't find escape from it. It is trapped between likes and dislikes. And it doesn't find any other escape. Being entrapped between like and dislike, ordinary human being doesn't find any peace in the mind. So he is suffering. There's another aspect of it. Now, when an ordinary human being, when he comes across this pleasurable, favorable, pleasant side of the life, and then he likes them, he wants them, he wants them to be his forever. He wants to grab them. And when he produces that desire, that likeness, that greed, and then underlying tendency to greed become prominent. So this is the cause root of greed. When an ordinary human being does not want unpleasant, unfavorable, disagreeable aspect in life, then he push them away. Then he reject them. He hate them. Then underlying tendency to aversion, hatred arise in the mind, become prominent. When these pleasant and unpleasant things appear in life, ordinary human being does not see as they really are, that they are impermanent, subject to change and disappear. When he or she does not see them the way that they are in actuality, then underlying tendency to ignorance become prominent. So because of delusion, so in this way, ordinary human being, when he comes across these eight worldly conditions in life, he reacts with greed, hatred, and delusion. So a human being who reacts with greed, hatred, and delusion, he is attached. One who is attached is not free from suffering. So when this is the, again the Buddha says, those who are not free from attachment, they are bound to undergo suffering. Now look at this picture again. When we come across pleasurable, favorable aspect in life, when we want glory, power, beauty, we want them forever for us. So when we come across them, we feel we are attached to them. We want them forever for us, but against our will and wish, they change. These things are not permanent, but we want them to be permanent. So we attach to them, but they change. The moment they change, we suffer. What about unpleasant side? Unpleasant side in life, when these unfavorable conditions arise again, since we hate them, hatred means attachment. As long as you have hatred, as long as you do not like someone, it means you are attached to that person. Right? So, love is also attachment, hatred is also attachment. Remember it. So when you hate someone, you are attached. So when you hate these things in life, it means you are attached. So when you experience pleasant things, you feel it attached. When you experience unpleasant things, you feel it attached. So one who is attached is not free from suffering. So the essence of the Buddha's teaching is to get rid of attachment. So how to do that? Let go. Let go. So many people say let go, right? So, but letting go is not something so simple. So in day-to-day life, people say, oh, let go, let go, don't worry, let go. But let go, of course, needs the process of training. Ultimately, it is, of course, letting go. But letting go does not happen in that simple way. You need to develop your ethical, spiritual, and intellectual faculties. And eventually, when you get rid of this attachment, as Buddha says in this discourse itself, and relinquishing from it, giving it up, totally destroying the craving, and that is the enlightenment. So how does an enlightened human being react towards this earthly world condition? The enlightened human being is known as awakened one. The way it is said awakened one means he is aware. He sees it. He sees it as it is. Yata bhutam jnana dasanam. He sees the reality as it is without distorted vision. So what is the nature of this existence? It's changing, impermanent, anicca, and suffering. Whatever is impermanent is subject to change and disappear is suffering. The moment you cling, you create suffering. Whatever is subject to change shouldn't be considered as permanent entity, as I, me, or soul. So when enlightened human being come across pleasurable, favorable, light, sound, smells, glory, beauty, power, and they also come across these things. Buddha was praised. He was given the palaces, like huge monasteries. He's honored, respected. His glory and name spread far and wide. Even today we sing his name. We sing his virtues. So enlightened beings also come across such the pleasurable, favorable side of life. But when they come across these things, they see it on the spot from the moment they rise. They are not permanent. They are subject to change and disappear. They are bound up with suffering. When they see it, there is no attachment. When there is no attachment, there is no suffering. When enlightened human beings come across this unfavorable, unpleasant side of the life, they do not cling. They do not attach. Why? They see it the moment they arise. They are subject to change and disappear. They are in the process of arising and passing away. They are bound up with suffering. So, having seen it clearly as they are really are, and the enlightened beings, they live without attachment. They are like the lotus flowers that blooms in the muddy water and remain there without touching with the mud. So they are, even though living with human beings among us, they are utterly free from all the defilements. So Buddha says, such a human being who are wise, who are utterly pure and enlightened, yatin the kilo patarin sitosya, chatut bivati vyasam prakampi, tatut pamansat purisam vadami, yuvariya satyani avitya pasati. One who saw the truth, realized the ultimate, he is like a great pillar which is sunk deep into the earth, which cannot be shaken by the wind. Such human beings will not be shaken by 8 worldly conditions, vicissitudes in life. So that is how ordinary human beings and enlightened human beings react to these 8 worldly conditions.